12, if you have your Bibles this morning, open the book of John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And then when you get that, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. John chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 2. In John chapter 12 this morning, we're going to begin reading with verse 20. Try to bring your message. We believe the Lord laid on our heart and ask that you pray for us. John chapter 12, verse 20. And there went certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. The bottom of verse 21 says, Sir, we would see Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. The writer of Hebrews says here, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, how to see Jesus. Or, have you seen Jesus lately? Let's bow our heads while we pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for our health and our strength and all the many blessings of life that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that you loved us, washed us from our sins in your own precious blood. We thank you, our Father, that one day you allowed your Son to die on an old rugged cross for our sins. God, we thank you this morning that you're alive and well. Thank you, Lord, that you're just the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we thank you this morning for a privilege of coming to worship you this morning. We pray that you burn out the sin and resistance in this service today. We pray, our Father, that the power of the Holy Ghost may come in and take charge and take over. Bring victory through the Lord Jesus, through the preaching of thy word this morning. May sinners be saved. May saints be drawn closer to thee. Help us, Lord, to get a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ this service today. We'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to see you this morning on how to see Jesus. The Bible says there in the book of Hebrews that we see Jesus. Sounds like he was getting a little ahead of himself. He didn't say we saw him in the past. Didn't say we're going to see him, he's going to come back, but we see him present right now. You know, when we visit somebody in a home, we go over and see our aunt or our uncle or somebody, we say, well, when have you seen old so-and-so? When was the last time you seen him? And they'll say, well, I saw him last month at the family reunion, or I saw him uptown the other day, or I saw him at work last week. And that's good. What I want to do to you this morning is ask you a question. When is the last time you saw Jesus? You say, well, preacher, I've never saw Jesus. And with our fleshly eyes, that's true. But with our spiritual eyes of faith this morning, every one of us can see the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about maybe in a vision or a dream where all of a sudden something actually materializes in front of you and you see it with your natural eyes. But I'm talking about by the eye of faith, being able to know Jesus is there, and to see him actually with your faith or your eyes of faith. You know, when a man does the unusual, people flock to get to see him. Isn't that Brian? Just a hair. When the president or somebody famous comes to town, thousands of people gather the streets and line up down the alleys and down the roadways just to get a glimpse of a famous person. Now, when the Lord Jesus was here, he definitely did the unusual. He made blind people to see. He made deaf people to hear. He made lame people to walk. And because of that, thousands of people flocked whenever they heard he was coming in to try to get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, me and you, like I said, we've never saw him with our natural eyes. I saw him and you saw him. When preachers preaching and at church and studying and learning. We saw him on the Judean hillside. We saw him up yonder delivering the Sermon on the Mount. We saw his bloody back in Pilate's judgment hall, where they whipped him and the blood came running out of his back and across his face. We saw Jesus by our eyes of faith. We saw him hanging on Calvary's cross one day for our sin. And deep down inside of every person, you know that Christ really did die for your sin. And of course, we saw him in the tomb and his ascension. And we catch a fresh glimpse of him every once in a while. My prayer is that every saint here today and every sinner will get a fresh glimpse of Jesus. When I woke up this morning, there was a song on my mind. I didn't go to bed thinking about it. When I went to bed, I wasn't too much thinking about nothing. I was sleepy this morning. And I got up a little while later this morning. I got up and there was a song on my mind. And it said, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And that other verse I was singing this morning said, just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toil of life repay. I don't know whether you realize it or not, folks, but every one of you are having problems. Sometimes I get so mad at myself and the devil, I'd just like to just blow my brains out, wouldn't you? Every once in a while you get so frustrated with life, and it seems like the devil hits you, and it seems like burdens and problems come, and you wish you didn't have this life to live. But I'm so glad to know that one day when I stand before Him, just one glimpse of Him on His throne will all the toils of life repay. Once I get up there in heaven, I see Him, one glimpse of Him, I'll not bend by one minute till I've forgot every burden, every problem I've ever had down here on this life. So press on, saint. Just keep on toiling on. Keep on praying. Keep on going to church. Keep on reading your Bible. Just one glimpse of Jesus in glory, and you'll forget about every problem you've ever had. You may have a heavy load this morning. You may be bearing a heavy cross. You may have burdens and problems this morning. I'd say there's probably people in this church this morning, you've got so many problems, you don't even know what you're going to do with them. But thank God, don't you forget, friend, when you see Him in glory, you'll forget about it all. Now, in a sense, this morning, when we see Jesus down here, it does the same thing. Brother, you can be burdened down. You can be worried about your bills. You can be worried about the family. And you can be worried about your car. You can be worried about your house. And you can be worried about your job. Or maybe you're worried about your kids. Maybe they're out in sin. Maybe your husband or maybe your wife. And you can be just burdened down and burdened down to where you just can't seem like you just can't go on. But did you know if you can get a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus, just one fresh glimpse of Him, it'll give you speed and power and energy that you never dreamed you had possible. You know what's the matter with most church members today? It's been so long since they got a real glimpse of Jesus Christ that they just died out. They're just groggy. They're just spiritual flop. They're just spiritual drag. They just drag in and drag out. Some of you sitting there this morning, you look like you eat prunes before you come to church this morning. And it sucks the lemon all the way here. And while you're coming in, that's the way y'all look. Some of you, thank God, I don't look at y'all much. I look at the ones that enjoys it. I try not to look at you sour pusses because you'll make me get a bad spirit. But some of you look this morning, honestly, like you sucked on a lemon before you come to church. Now, I want to ask you, what you got your bottom lip stuck out for? What are you so sad about? If you ever get a good glimpse of Jesus, and if you ever seen Him, realize you're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. You ain't going to burn. You're going to heaven. One of these days, brother, it'd do a lot for you. Now, I want to say some things about that this morning. I hope you can get a fresh glimpse of Him today. Why should we want to see Jesus? Number one. Why should we want to see Jesus? Number one, we ought to want to see Him because of His greatness. Brother, when famous people come to town, I'd like to see them. If President Ronald Reagan, and I don't worship the president by no means, sometimes I don't even have much respect for him as I should, I guess, but I don't worship him. If I knew President Reagan was going to be down at Mr. Picnic at 1 o'clock this evening, I'd kind of hang around and talk to somebody just to look at him, wouldn't you? You'd say, well, I'll be. There he is, the President of the United States. I've never seen one, I don't reckon, in person, and I'd just hang around to see him. And there'll be people all over this hillside to see him. So they'd say, well, he's an important, great person. But how much more is Jesus? He was great in His pre-existence.
He's the only man that ever lived before he was born. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. And they said, you ain't even 50 years old. And he told them about how that he was pre-existent. He was great in his prophecy. No man would ever been prophesied like he was, fulfilled him to the T. He was great in his birth. He lived in heaven without a mother, came to earth without a father, and is great in his birth. Brother, nobody's ever come up to his standard of being great. He is great in his life. He went about doing good. He was great in his death. He gave it for sinners. He was great in his resurrection. He come up by his own power. He was great by his ascension. He ascended into heaven. He'll be great when he comes back. You ought to want to see him because he's a great person. He is the greatest. There's nobody any greater. I've never seen Elvis Presley. I've never seen the Beatles. I've never seen the Rolling Stones. Some of you may have had the disadvantage of seeing those people in your life. I've never have. But I want you to know this morning, I couldn't care less. When I met Jesus, brother, I realized that the heroes of this world are like pygmies, brother, standing beside Goliath on the mountainside. They're just not able to measure up to him. We ought to want to see him, secondly, because he's God's son. There ain't nobody else God's son like he's God's son. He's God's only begotten son. Not an earthly king's son. If old Prince Charles and Lady Di come over here, them people would go hog wild. You know that? They'd run, they'd go to the airport, and they'd take some, I bet you they've wasted $1 million worth of film on that baby. And it's no different. Now, some of y'all babies a lot prettier than it is anyway. And it's no different than anybody else's baby. I want you to know they'd go wild. They'd go crazy. People go to the airport and they'd be all over the star in the midnight and inquire and all the rest of them things. And boy, they'd make a big deal over it. But did you know, I want to tell you about somebody this morning that is the King of Glory. And the King of Glory. The King that never had a beginning, never will have an end. And brother, for years and years and years, men wanted to have a glimpse of God, and they finally got it. Jesus came and said, he that seen me hath seen the Father. And then third, we ought to want to see Jesus because he is the Savior. We look around, we realize there's no lasting hope in this world. What a comfort it is to realize we have a Savior. Amen? What a comfort it is to realize we have one that's going to take us to heaven. Then number two this morning, how can we see Jesus? How can we see Jesus this morning? First of all, by looking into the Bible. The best way I know of to see Jesus, or one of the best ways, is look in the Bible. When you begin to look in the pages of this book, it's not long till you're confronted with the main player of the story. And his name is Jesus. And it won't be long until you'll begin to see him in his glory. And you see him, and you ain't read three chapters of Genesis. Till you come to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Lord said, you'll bruise his heel, but my seed, or thy seed, will bruise the serpent's head. So we see Jesus in Genesis. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. Over there in Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity. And over in the New Testament, brother, he's the Alpha and Omega. What a joy it is to behold the Lamb of God. When you read the Bible, he's the serpent on the pole back in the book of Numbers. He's the manna that fell in the desert back in the book of Exodus. He's the rock that they smote in a weary land. And water come out and fed the people or dried up the people's thirst. He's the bread that came down out of heaven. He's the branch of Jehovah. He is all the way through the Bible. You can't read this Bible without seeing Jesus Christ if you believe. And I believe all of us need to get a new fresh glimpse of him from this book. You ought to just sit down and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you read that, go back in the Old Testament and read what Paul wrote about him. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Wouldn't it be a blessing this morning? Every church's problems could be solved if the members would fall in love with Jesus. You know that? I wouldn't have to beg you to come back tonight and Wednesday night if you love Jesus like you ought to. Oh, no, church wouldn't have problems. I know preachers that are wringing their hands. They say, I've got a certain problem, and I don't know how to go about handling it. I hate to say anything to the people, and if I do, I know I'm going to make some mad and run some off, hurt some feeling. And, brother, you know what the answer to a problem like that is? Just preach Jesus, and when people fall in love with Jesus, they'll straighten up and live right and act right. And if they don't, they won't do them no good to do it no way. Amen. It ain't going to do you no good just come to us because you're scared out of fuss if you don't. You ought to come because you love Jesus. And the very fact you don't love Jesus shows you got a black heart. You got wickedness in there. And I'd say probably 75% of the people in here need to fall in love with Jesus again. You say, well, what happened to me, Brother Danny? I used to love him. I just don't know why I don't love him. You need a fresh glimpse of him. You need to see him again. And you need to get in your Bible. When you read the Bible, you begin to see him again. But then not only that, the next second way you see Jesus is in prayer. When you begin to get down and pray, brother, you can get a fresh glimpse of him sometimes. Sometimes it seems like you almost get close enough to heaven to peep over the wall and look in, don't it? And you see him sitting on the throne. Have you ever been praying? And you pray and say, oh God, where you at? Oh God, something wrong. And it just feels like thick clouds all in front of your face. And it seemed like, I've prayed before and it felt like I was swimming. I was underwater, you know, and I was trying to find the wall, and I couldn't find it, you know. And every once in a while, I'd look up, and, you know, it's like you're fighting through something. And all of a sudden, it seemed like things just open up, the clouds clear back, and you get a little glimpse of him. Boy, when you get a little glimpse of him, brother, I just go wild. I go crazy. Sometimes the Lord don't let that happen too often, but sometimes when you're just down and out, and you're discouraged, and you ain't been witnessing, you ain't been praying, and you ain't been wanting to go to church, and you just get sick when you hear the name of the church and the preacher and everything. Brother, if you can just get one fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, see him on his throne, see him in his glory, see him in his magnificence, it'll just put a shot in you that'll set you to running. Do you know that? Amen. I've been to Speedway and saw the cars run around, around, around the track. I saw demolition derbies, watch them bump into each other. I've been to the movies. I've been to the ball games. I've been to the Coliseum, watched the Harlem Globetrotters. I've seen what they say are exciting things in this world. But nothing, I want to tell you, nothing has ever excited me like a time or two when I've been on my knees in prayer and, brother, all of a sudden, God just rolled back the folded curtains of my eyes and let the scales fall off and I got a glimpse of Jesus. Brother, that's happened to me 11 years ago, I ain't never been the same since. I seen the Harlem Globetrotters 15 years ago, and I was the same the very next day after I seen them. Except a little dumber, probably, trying to act like them. I mean, it didn't change me. But when I got one glimpse of him, it changed my life. That song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Next way we see Jesus is in the lives of faithful Christians. Did you know you can see Jesus in the life of somebody that loves Jesus? An old man said one time, after the sun goes down, you can still see it shining. You know, have you ever saw a sunset after the sun's already gone and the clouds are red and it's blue and purple and a little tint of pink and gold and orange and all of those colors? You know what that is? You're not seeing the sun. Sun's already goes down. You're seeing the sun shining on those in the sky. Now, the Lord Jesus is not here in the flesh, but we can see Jesus here by looking at the lives of faithful Christians. And, of course, this is the great need of our day. Have you ever heard anybody say, boy, I just love to be around so-and-so? It's just you can just see the Lord shining in their face. That's the way you can see Jesus, folks, by looking at the lives of somebody who's dedicated to him. Now, I heard it said about an old preacher one time. Somebody said, you could see the Lord shining in his face. The old song says, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful. Be true. Let others see Jesus in you. About 1770, old John Wesley was 70 years old. I read the life story of John Wesley, and that old preacher began the Methodist Church. And brother old John Wesley, he was a man of God. And I read John Wesley as he began to preach and talk, and thousands come to hear him. Just thousands of people just flocked to hear him. He'd stand up in an open field, and there'd be sometimes 10, 15, 20,000 people gathered in a field. And there wasn't no cars and airplanes and big motors running back then, so you could hear his voice. And he'd speak to 10,000 people without even a microphone or a PA system. It's unbelievable. But it happened. And in 1770, John Wesley said he believed he preached to the biggest crowd he ever been, preached to over 30,000 people. That John Wesley preached to, he was 70 years old, brother. No PA system, no microphone, just a big old hillside. He'd get a bank behind him. People would stand out there in a field like a kind of like a tunnel to throw his voice out that way. And they said they believed that it was the first time in history that one man had spoke to that many people at 1770. Now, why did all those people leave their homes, walk out in the field, and just to hear a man talk? It wasn't because he could talk any better than anybody else. They saw Jesus in that man. Brother, that's what makes the difference. Jonathan Edwards, that great preacher, stood and read his sermon. You would consider it boring today in this day of entertainment. He stood and read his sermon. He read that great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He had his left hand on the pulpit, holding his notes, his elbow was resting on the pulpit. He stood there and he said, "You're like a spider. Somebody's holding you over a fire, and they hate you and abhor you. They just can't wait to drop you in the fire. You're like a rope, and God's got you hanging over hell. And any time he's ready to drop. You know, if you had a bug that you just despise to look at, and you had a fireplace right there, you know what you'd be tempted to do, don't you? Just throw it in there." Jonathan Edwards said, "That's the way sinners are, in the hands of an angry God." And he said, "God's going to destroy you." He said, "God will one day drop you in the fire. God will one day let you burn. God despises your sin and your way of life. You're a murdering, adultery, and whoremongering, and running around drinking liquor and cussing and living like the devil." He said, "God's going to let you in there." And 500 people got saved that night across town. They said there wasn't hardly a house in town that wasn't somebody screaming and hollering for God to save them. You know what made them people get saved? You know what made them shake? You know, they saw Jesus in that man. It was like Jesus was up there talking. It was like the Lord was talking to them. Therefore, they got saved and believed. And they said New England might never forgive Jonathan Edwards for that message, but one thing about it, New England would never forget it. And they haven't. You know, I've heard people say, a little old boy comes in, he rolls his eyes, and they say, "Boy, you can sure see his daddy in him, can't you?" I've heard one come in, a little girl come in, act a certain way, and say, "She's just like her mother." Did you know, if you really belong to Jesus, you spend a lot of time with Jesus, and you really love Jesus, that people will, you'll do certain things, and they'll say, "I see Jesus in him." You remember how that when Jesus said, if somebody takes your law and sues you or takes something away from you, just let it go and don't say nothing about it? When you see a man doing that and letting himself be treated, and he's acting like, you say, "I see Jesus in that person." You know how come lost people can't get saved today? They don't see Jesus in very many Christians. It is more important for your kids to see Jesus in you. Just because you bring your kids to church every Sunday does not mean they're going to turn out all right, folks. If they can't see Jesus Christ in you at home, forget it. You might as well forget it right now. You can't expect Brother Danny to give them straight 2 hours a week. You can't expect their Sunday school teacher. I've heard just people raise the devil and fuss all the time at home, live like the devil all week long, and their kids grow up and get in trouble, and they'll say, "Our church just didn't reach our young people." You can't blame it on the church. The kids must see Jesus in mama. Hey, you mamas, has your little girl seen Jesus in you lately? You can tell the way some of them act, they ain't seen Jesus in you lately. Daddy, has little boy seen Jesus in you lately? If he don't, you might as well forget it. He ain't gonna, listen, you heard Brother Jack this morning. Brother Jack got up here and he was giving a short testimony. We sang that song, "Years I Spent in Vanity and Pride at Calvary," you know. And he was standing up here telling that song. And he said, "That song's special to me." Because he said, "When I was a little bitty boy, they had a revival at the old country church." And he said, "During that song, my grandma got up and shouted all over the church." See, he was just a little bitty boy. That made such an impression on him that to this day, this morning, he got up and he could remember it just like it was last week. He remembered the song that was being sang, and in his mind, he could still see his grandma shouting. Let others see Jesus in you. Jack Spark saw Jesus in his grandmother. And even though he may have wavered and got out in sin as he grew up, the Lord kept reminding him of that. And he came back because he knew it was true. He had saw Jesus in somebody else. A person does not get saved until they see Jesus in somebody else. You don't get saved until you see Jesus in somebody else. You didn't get saved until you saw a change in somebody else or maybe heard about it and the Lord got a hold of you. People see Jesus in you. You know, people can walk with Jesus so long that you begin to see them do like Jesus does. You begin to hear them talk like He talks. You begin to hear them have an attitude like He had. Brother, I want you to know it's all important. The greatest thing in this world is for your kids to see Jesus in you. The greatest thing for a lost person that you work with is to see Jesus in you. If your husband's not saved, the greatest thing you could do would be somehow to live in such a way that he could see Jesus in you and he'd know the Lord's will because he could see Him in your life. Time wouldn't permit us to go on and tell the stories over and over and over tonight or this morning, but I've heard stories that would make hair stand up on your head. Two old drunks sitting in a bar one night, and one of them said, God, religion, the Bible, ain't no God. Another drunk said, yeah, they are too. There's a God. I believe He's real. Another drunk said, you can't prove that. And he said, yeah, I know there's a God. And he said, how do you know? And he said, my wife. He said, if he's ever been a Christian in this world, my wife was. And the man said, yeah, I know them church people. And the guy said, well, I'll tell you what. I bet you we could go to my house right now. What time is it? 3:00 in the morning. And I could make her get up and fix me and you something to eat. And she'd do it and never even gripe. He said, she won't do it. You sorry, bum, out here drinking, running around. Wouldn't surprise me if she got you locked out. He said, come on. They went over to the house, came in. The guy went in there and said, get out! His wife came in there and said, fix us something to eat! I know this is hard for you liberated women to imagine, but you don't know much about Jesus anyway. She said, she got in there, fixed them something to eat, never opened her mouth. The old drunk just looked at her the whole time. He was expecting her to say, shut up and fix it yourself. Yeah. I'll work for you. Like most women. But she didn't. She got out and fixed it. And because that boy got saved. You say, well, I wouldn't. Yeah, and he'd went to hell too. I ain't gonna let nobody just walk over me like that. Yeah, I know what your problem is. Well, I don't think it's right. Well, we'll just see when the Lord comes back. We'll see. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Be faithful, be true. Let others see Jesus in you. You see Jesus in the lives of faithful Christians. I know there's been times when many of you people here, you've had burdens and problems, and the easy thing for you to do would be just to quit church. But I saw some of you stick in there. And I saw some of you come when you didn't want to. And I saw some of you hang in there. You know what, brother? When I look at you, I see Jesus in you. And that's an encouragement to my heart to say, well, there's a person that's not operating in the realms of the flesh and just as a fleshly thing. Their religion's not fleshly. Jesus is real to that person. When you see a person bear up under heavy temptation and when they got a good chance to quit and they don't quit and they got a good chance just to go back and serve the devil and reason would say, just go on back and give it up and they still stick in there anyway and get criticized, get made fun of. Brother, I want to tell you, you begin to see Jesus in a person like that. My prayer is that others could see Jesus in us. Not only that, but you see Jesus in good church services. You know that? Have you ever heard a preacher preach, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of his message, the Lord just got real to you? The Lord, you know what happened? You saw Jesus, brother. You get one glimpse of Him. Take that wonderful name, brother. You know, by the way, that's what draws you back to certain churches and certain places. It's not necessarily personality. It's not necessarily speaking abilities. You ever met a preacher and you say, boy, I just can't wait. I heard that man preach one time and it was the best thing I ever heard. I'm going to go hear him again. It don't matter if I have to drive 100 miles. I'm going to go hear him. You know why you think like that? Because somewhere down the road he was preaching and you got a glimpse of Jesus. And you say, praise God, if I can go hear him again, I might get another glimpse of Jesus. It's not the man you're worshiping. It's not the man you're following. But it's just that while he was preaching, you got a glimpse of Jesus, and you ain't never forgot it yet. I've been in revivals in little old churches. Some of them, some revivals I preached that I forgot about. Others I preached. I remember one time in an old place called Glendale Springs up near Virginia Line. I went up there one night and we had the awfulest service there ever had been, I reckon. We had a time, boy. We were shouting all over the place. And every time I think of that little church, I just get a warm feeling inside. Some churches I preach in, I don't even remember them. You know what makes that church special to me? I saw Jesus while I was there. Amen, brother. You know what will make this church a good church, if it ever is a good church? If it is one now, you know what makes it one? Because when people come, they can see Jesus. They can see Him in the choir. They can see Him in the preaching. They can see Him in the hospitality, in the friendship, in the handshake, in the atmosphere. They can see Jesus. And if they see Him, they want to come back. You don't have to pay them. You don't have to bribe them. If they see Him, they want to come back. They'll say, boy, I remember something special that happened to me at that church. I remember a little place down the road here called Nebo Baptist Church that I saw Jesus in. Have you ever went back into a prayer room by yourself and just there by yourself? Got a little glimpse of Him? I'd say every Christian in this church could point back to one or two times in your life where you really felt like you got a glimpse. Now let your mind go back. Just maybe you was back in the back of a church somewhere praying. Or maybe you was at the altar with a group of Christians. Maybe you was in a camp meeting. Or maybe you was in this church. Or maybe you might have been at home by yourself. But all of a sudden, it was real. Oh, how precious it is to get a glimpse of Jesus. Then finally and thirdly this morning, let me mention this right quickly. What kind of a vision should we get of Jesus? When we see Him, how should we see Him, or what should we see Him as? First of all, we ought to see Him as our mediator, our daily helper. Not a man, but the man. Pleading our case, a lawyer in court. You're all alone without Him. If you don't get a glimpse of Jesus, you're going to have to face your battles and your problems by yourself. You know what the devil will do? He'll be with you as long as you're out here healthy and you're helping him a little bit. You run around using your body to glorify the devil, or you're using your money to glorify the devil, and you're getting other people in sin, and you're messing with dope, and you're messing with this, and you're going to parties, and you're doing... The devil will say, boy, I'll help you. I'll give you a bunch of fun. But when you get in the hospital and you're laid up there all by yourself, or maybe you're down here at the funeral home somewhere with a loved one, the devil's nowhere around. He won't help you. It's then when you need Jesus. You need to see Him as your helper and your mediator in a time of need. Then we ought to see Him as our Lord and Master. He should have first place, brother. If the Lord is not first place in your life, you've not saw Him like you ought to see Him. Live off the old life and put on the new man. The life you're living does not reserve first place for Him. There's something wrong. You need a fresh glimpse. Then we need to see Him as our coming King. Did you know that? He's coming back. We need to be looking forward to that. It would change most people's lives if they really believed the Lord was coming back. And then finally, we need to see Him as our final judge. The Bible said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. One of these days, He will be our judge. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, He'll be your judge, and along with God Almighty at the great white throne judgment. If you're saved this morning, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you will be judged by Jesus. If He's our Savior, if He's our mediator, if He's our helper, if He's our King, if He's our Lord and Master, He's going to be our judge. We need to get a glimpse of Him, don't you think? We need to see Him. If we don't see nobody else, if we don't go nowhere else, if we don't do nothing else, we need to see Him. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, let me remind you, friend, He can be your Savior now. But if you fool around and wait and put it off, He'll be your judge. That's right. An old man was down at the riverbank one time, and the judge was down there fishing on his day off. And the man fell in the river and was drowning. The judge came out in there and got out, waded out in the water and swam and pulled him in. And the guy was saying, thank you, you saved my life. How could I ever repay you? And he said, oh, don't worry about it, just go on. Just be glad I was here, you know, just forget it. Wasn't long after that till that same man was hauled into court for drinking. and he got in trouble and committed some kind of crime or something. He looked up there, and there on the judge's seat was that man that had pulled him out of the river. When he saw him, he thought, oh boy, I'll get out of this. He helped me. He saved my life the other day. He'll help me. I know he will. He likes me. If he handles me, he'll just let me drown. And the judge sat there and heard the case. The case was presented, and they heard all the evidence. The judge said, I pronounce this man guilty, and thus and so, and pronounced his sentence. And the man said, sir, I can't understand that. Why didn't you help me today like you did the other time? He said, listen, son, the other day at the river when you were drowning, I was your savior. But today, I'm your judge. He said, the judge don't do nothing but just judge right and wrong. I ain't your savior no more. And this morning, friend, Jesus can be your savior. If you don't let him, one day he'll be your judge. You need a glimpse of him. You need to realize that you're going to stand before him and give an account of your life. And if you're not ready to meet him, I advise you and plead with you to get ready before you leave this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning why the piano plays softly. Be one someone here and say, preacher, this morning Jesus could be my Savior. And I know if I wait, someday I'm going to stand before Him, He'll be my judge. There may be others that need to come this hour this morning. Maybe you're not living for Jesus like you are. Maybe you just need a fresh glimpse of Him. Maybe while the whole time I've been preaching this morning, you've just had scales over your eyes that you can't see Him. What is it? What is it that come between you and Him that you can't see Him? You need a fresh glimpse of Him, friend. We're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to speak to hearts this morning. Some have already come. There may be others that need to come to this altar and get a fresh glimpse of Jesus. Dear Lord, we pray. God, move on this congregation. Do what needs to be done. Lord, I can't do it. I've done my best, but I can't do what needs to be done in here this morning. Lord, take these few stuttering words and somehow use them for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.